Before we continue, one of the ways we keep all of our content for you, the listener, free of charge is our amazing sponsors, and today, Anchor is one of those sponsors. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free, there's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcasts right from your phone or computer. Anchor is going to distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere podcasts are listened to, and you can even make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started.
Tonight, we look through the mirror one last time while we examine five episodes of Deep Space Nine, five Mirror Universe episodes of Deep Space Nine. Crossover from season two, from season three, Through the Looking Glass, Shattered Mirror from season four, Resurrection from season six, and from season seven, the final season, Emperor's New Cloak. Star Trek Weekly starts now.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
What I'm really going to miss is having an excuse to use so many Mirror songs. And why else on Star Trek Weekly would you play Iron Maiden? Anyway, welcome to Star Trek Weekly. I'm Christian Blatt, joined by Carrie Lane and Frank. Happy go Jackie.
Hey guys.
I know, Frank Moran.
That's fine.
Thought it was
I love
funny.
It. There you go.
I know. Anyway, we're here, and as I mentioned at the top of the show, we're going to continue our conversation about the Mirror Universe.
Yes.
Conclude our conversation about the Mirror Universe, at least for now.
For now.
Yeah.
Is a Mirror Universe conversation ever over?
No, I don't think it is. And I'm just wondering.
Does it happen much in the other iterations of Star Trek?
No, we have done all of them.
That's
now.
It. Okay.
Yeah. There's.
Oh, then that. Okay, I have more questions.
There's not a Next Generation Mirror Universe episode.
Yeah.
Although, at the back of my mind, I thought there was, but then upon careful examination, the one I thought was definitely not.
And where does Deep Space Nine fit in the timeline?
Continuous with Next Generation. Next Generation did end probably around. Actually, around that second season, I think, is when it ended. Second or third season of Deep Space Nine. But the Next Generation movies were going on at the same time. So that crew continued.
And then how is that related to Enterprise?
Enterprise is the
early.
The prequel.
It's, so it'd be Enterprise,
that's even before
classic.
Discovery. Yeah. No. So you got Enterprise, Discovery,
then
original
classic.
Series. Yeah.
Okay. Because then
animated series. Then the movies.
This is more in context of the Mirror Universe being represented because in Enterprise, we don't get any context of the characters talking about it.
Right.
We're just in it. And that was weird. Classic, they do the, where are we? And, oh my goodness, we're learning we're in a new space.
Sure.
Cool, good. Discovery, it's, what is this? But we thought that this could exist. So, sure. But then we jump to Deep Space Nine, and it's the most casual. Oh, you're from the other one? Nice,
well,
cool. You want to pop over there after dinner?
It definitely turns into just how easy it is to do.
Yeah.
And you get the impression,
so
up
weird.
Until this point, it's not that easy to do.
Yeah.
But once Smiley O'Brien figures out how to do it, then everybody can do it.
Yeah,
I did like the idea that when Prime Kira was asked, you know, Jim Kirk, she's like, nope. I would have no reason to know him. But then anybody in Starfleet's like, oh, yeah, of course. We all know. Oh, yeah, we had to learn about the Mirror Universe. Sure. It was in our books. That makes sense. I at least was glad that not everyone throughout the galaxy automatically knows Jim Kirk. But, Frank, what do you think that does for Shatner's ego? That there might be people that didn't know James Kirk.
That right there, I mean, he's old Captain My Captain. To find out that he's not the Bajoran's captain, sad to hear.
So as I was watching these episodes, and I would say for the most part, I was rewatching them. I'm a little iffy on whether or not I've watched the final season of Deep Space Nine. I was telling Frank, primarily because I didn't like the new Dax, the girl who's in there who.
Oh, at first I was like,
Ezri, yeah.
I had to research him, find.
Yeah,
that
figure
down.
Out. Yeah, I know. They mention it, but.
It's very.
Yeah, well, yeah, I mean, we'll get to that. But anyway, I just sort of didn't love it. And I don't know, that was like my first year out of college and I was like working. So I think it was kind of easy to have it fall by the wayside.
Yeah.
But anyway, we'll talk about that one. But anyway, so we were watching all these and I thought about it in the context of you watching them. And I'm going to assume these are the only episodes of Deep Space Nine you've ever seen.
I think so. And if I ever saw any Deep Space Nine, it was just casually here and there because the characters look familiar-ish.
Yeah.
Like, it wasn't like, I have never... it's one of those, it's on TV. Like, I maybe didn't sit and watch an episode. But yeah, you could say sure.
So, and I was thinking about it in that context where for you... the timeline and the chronology of the Mirror Universe versions of these characters, you know as much as anybody knows. So you really have a handle on those characters. The mirror versions of all these characters. The regular versions, there's a lot.
I don't know anything about
them. All of a sudden,
yeah.
Worf's on the show, and you're like, all right, I guess. I don't know when that happens, you know? It just does. So
and then
I
watching them all together, it actually felt like one really long episode.
Yeah. Well, and
it's as if no time passes.
Yeah, and as they go along, you can tell they're setting up. It's like, well, we know we're going to do another one of these. And so, you know, they always have Kira get away. Even in the final one, they're setting it up just in case. You know, maybe they thought that they might get another season or something, but...
Yeah, her character is interesting because, like, in the beginning, I'm like, oh, she's actually kind of a cool bad guy. Even though she's not, like, an aggressive bad guy, like, not... actively doing stuff to our main people as much as like other bad guys can, villains. But the thing is, when you watch her in like multiple episodes back to back, I'm like, okay, now it's getting a little overkill. I get it, but I'm like, wait, these would have been seen like really far apart.
They're really far apart. And if you have the basis of the real version of the character, I think that's something to do with it.
Oh, I think she's fantastic then. As like from an acting thing, I felt the characters were so different that it was
And I'm
really
sure
fun
it was fun for everybody. Especially I was thinking Frank for Avery Brooks to play the Mirror Universe version of his character.
Which one's that one?
Yes.
That's Captain Sisko. So the
he was
the
fun.
You know, boisterous, smiling, laughing, joking around, you know, rascal. I think that was probably fun. Frank, what did you think as you watched these rewatched these five episodes, you know, so close together?
That I had forgotten how just long that Deep Space Nine opening is.
Boring credits, must say. The rocket, the asteroid.
Yeah. Like the comet, I think.
Boring.
Yeah.
But the ship's cool.
Yeah, it's nice to see it.
And it never changes over all seven seasons.
Sure doesn't.
Yeah, it's just I think it's like 2 minutes, just the opening credits.
It's long.
Like,
Netflix doesn't let you skip it.
No.
You have to fast forward.
Yeah, but if you look, you can kind of see a little thumbnail.
Yep,
bottom.
I did that.
Yeah, I did that after the first one. I'm like, all right, enough.
Netflix will be like, skip intro?
Oh,
it
you have to fast forward. No, it does not, because, you know, that would involve a program. All right, so apart from the long intro, though, Frank.
I felt like, the Mirror Universe was just, in a way, kind of like diminishing returns every time it came back.
Yeah, with each one, I felt like... Well, actually, I don't think that the last one was the least satisfying.
The fourth one.
The one when Vedic Barayel comes over and no one goes to the Mirror Universe.
Yes.
Only he and Kira come over.
Yeah.
And I'm like... And that was the one where Kira came over. I'm like, really? Like, you know, it would have been all right. We could have had a break from her, you know, but...
Yeah, that one was kind of weak.
That was to me, that was the weakest of the five.
And actually, even the first one was kind of, okay.
Sure. I felt
not
like...
Not much happened.
I gave them a little credit because that was the first time.
Yeah.
You know, that was the first time they went over. And it was interesting that, you know, Kira and Bashir were the ones that went over. I'm like, well, I sure wouldn't have picked those two.
Yeah. I do like Kira meeting Kira and how the other one essentially want to, you know...
Make out with
herself. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because she's that narcissistic. But I'm like, that makes sense for her.
Yeah. What were some other thoughts, Frank?
Well, for one, just how, as they really set up in the first episode, just how much harder it is to transport between universes. Like, you know, after that happened with Kirk, we made sure we made it so hard to do this anymore.
Yeah.
Not a problem.
Not
in
a problem.
Subsequent episodes.
Hey,
very
not
easy.
A problem for Smiley O'Brien.
That's right, because
now,
he's a tinkerer.
Maybe Scotty would have been able to figure it out. There's probably a short list of people that could have figured it out. I think that a lot of engineers just would be like, I don't know how to do it. I can't go over there, you know, so.
Yeah, and for me, I am Not the Ferengis, like Quark and Rom, they're great just as ancillary characters in an episode. When they drive
right,
an episode,
well, let's just jump to that one because I hated the fact that they were Laurel and Hardy carrying around an invisible cloaking device. I was watching this early in the morning, folding some laundry because that's what you do, and I was just like, oh come on, really. Like, not this much Quark and Rom. And I love Wallace Shawn, but I was just like, too much comic relief. Yeah. And it actually made me like Quark more because he was the most normal of the three. You know, he was the most grounded. And I'm not a huge Ferengi fan. It's not my favorite alien race on Star Trek. I'm not trying to say I'm anti-Ferengi. I'm not a Ferengiist. But I kind of find the characters a little bit one note. You know, it's like they're motivated by profit. And, you know, Quark is the one that we got to know the most because it was, 200 episodes or whatever it was. So there was plenty of opportunity to get to know him. But until that point, you know, I mean, and then the whole idea that the females never wear clothes was something that they had to work around because they introduced that as a throwaway. And they're like, well, now we said that. So how do we, you know. So, I just thought that, like, I don't need this goofy comic relief, you know, with Rom especially. And, you know, we're going to stare at the bulkhead and Captain Sisko comes over. And
that was pretty painful when they're standing there.
He's like, well, we're going to paint this color. And I was like, this is just bad. And then the Klingon who comes looking for them. Let's not deal with the fact at the end of the episode that this Klingon will kill them, by the way. No, just ignore that. That's all right.
Well, I feel like it's just like the amount that they're used, like, say, the first three episodes, which I did like the running gag that a Ferengi gets killed.
Yes.
Every one of those episodes. Great. That was like the most amount I wanted to
see. Yeah, and they were like, well, we gotta go three men down on the depth chart. We had to have Nog.
Yep.
Which I actually thought was very funny that you know, they had him there. But yeah, and then it was like, I guess we gotta bring them back.
Mm. And not knowing them at all, it was kind of fine, but it was like silly that you're like, whatever. Sisko looks much better, bald and goatee.
Yeah, and
much
it was
more
yeah
handsome.
When he had the hair, I was just like, oh yeah, right, he looked like that, and it was a good run, a good part of the run of the series that he looked like that. But I just remember him bald with the goatee because that's to me the definitive look because
looks
he looked the best. Yeah,
yes.
And yeah, he it just you know it's like when you see pictures of Michael Jordan with hair, you're like, what?
Yep.
When was that? But it happened, you know. That one, I don't know. I mean, honestly, the Ezri Dax was the problem. I mean, the Mirror Universe version of her was way more interesting, I thought.
I like the short hair in Mirror Universe.
Yeah. Really cool. So here's what I liked, though. Well, here's what you notice watching these five episodes that were spread out. In the first episode, the Mirror Kira is sort of... You know, it's like this debaucherous scene that you can't really get too involved in because it's, well, it's not network TV, but it's, you know, basic TV and syndicated TV. And she's like attracted to a man and then you're delicious. And then she turns to a woman and she says the same thing. Doesn't come anywhere near kissing her. But then in the 5 years between, you know, 1994, 1999, it becomes okay to have women kiss on TV. But you couldn't do it in 1994. And so it's much more casual. When they do it then, I was like, yeah, because they were so uptight at that point.
You know? Oh, with, Mir Dax when she kisses that lady.
And I was just like, okay.
But then they kind of make a joke of it, too, because then it's the male eyes watching him like,
Well, and it's also Rom's wife, so it's kind of funny in that way. But, I mean, when NBC pitched Will and Grace to advertisers, Will was just her eccentric friend, and the word gay never appeared anywhere in there. So it was a very different time. And that was only like 1998, I think. So,
remember my parents being like, we're not watching that show.
Yeah. Well, your parents wouldn't be the only ones, I guess. Yeah.
Conservative parents.
I feel like maybe my biggest thing would be the Daxes, but both versions that we get in these episodes, where I feel like that is a character that I don't know if it would still be. The Daxes that we've got, I mean, of course you have to just use the same actors because...
That's who you're paying every week, so you might as well have them on the show.
True, but I thought this was a good opportunity to have... I feel like that would be a character that would probably have different life experiences in the Mirror Universe and wouldn't necessarily be the same hosts that we see.
Yeah, I think that would have been worth exploring. And, you know, the Jadzia Dax that we see, It is funny that Captain Sisko does sleep with her, by the way, because it makes sense in the context of the story. But usually on these kind of shows, you find the workaround like, no, I have such a bad headache. And he tries.
Oh, yeah.
And then she's like,
with Kira is like, I'm tired.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's true.
Actually, I'm glad you said it that way. So that's something about watching all these mirror universe things that I'm just like, okay, fine. This is definitely where you have to suspend your disbelief. If there's another you out there and they've grown up in a completely different environment, it seems that all the mirror universes just are, it's pretty shitty life, and that person is exactly physically like you, like not more muscle, not skinnier, not fatter, no different scars, no different wounds.
I mean, sometimes you'll see different scars, but you're right. No, it's true.
It's one of those like
they don't look quite different enough. I mean, I'd like some more differences, like the way we had Spock
or at
with
least
a goatee.
New hair, something.
I will give a shout out to Bashir's hair in the second mirror.
Yes,
like that. Oh. What a great wig that was.
No.
Yeah, and he needed the shave.
Yeah. Well, this is more bothersome because a really good documentary, not connected but connected, called Twinsters, is about a girl who finds out she has a twin who grew up on a completely different country, and they look exactly the same still.
Amazing.
One grew up here in California, one grew up in France, and they physically look exactly the same. One's just a hair taller. But it's like, oh my gosh, and they still develop very much the same, even though they're in completely different places.
Wow.
But that's why watching this, I'm like, all right, I could buy it for like one person, but can we have a couple characters look a little more different than their mirror? And everyone's like, the resemblance is striking. I'm like, guys, we all know that it's another you over there.
Well, France is the mirror universe of Southern California.
Apparently.
So that makes the most sense. And by the way, as I was putting notes together, I realized that the major plot point for the 7th season episode, The Emperor's New Clothes, is actually a colossal continuity error, because just in the episode Through the Looking Glass, the Alliance uses a cloaking device. So the idea that there's no cloaking devices in the mirror universe wasn't one of those things where it's like, oh, in an obscure novel or on the animated series. No, it was on Deep Space Nine just a couple years earlier. So somebody didn't check the show Bible, and they're just like, yeah, who's going to pay attention anyway?
It was a while ago. Nobody's going
to
remember.
Right. Although, to be fair, I didn't. When they said that, I didn't go like, wait a minute, they just use it.
I just watched it and I didn't remember.
Right, yeah, exactly.
Do you like the initial premise for where we're at in the mirror universe by this point in the timeline? Where Spock, after...
Yeah, I did want to talk about that.
Oh,
yeah,
the Rebellion?
I thought that was interesting. And, it was a little exposition-y, but I think it was fascinating that, so Spock does all these reforms because, our Kirk goes over. And by the time that all the reforms are in place, they aren't a match for anyone, and they just get rolled over. So was it worth making all those improvements? Probably not. Maybe the first couple of reforms, but, then Spock should have either stopped or been killed. I don't know. I thought that concept's actually pretty interesting because, when we see the mirror universe, usually, and including on Discovery, it's just the Terran Empire and the savages that they are and all that. And then it's like, in Deep Space Nine, it's like, no, you guys are pretty much at the bottom of the food chain. Yeah.
Well, then I'm the loser who didn't connect it, that I didn't realize Terran meant human.
Sure.
Until these episodes.
Right.
Because I just thought it was a title in Discovery. I'm like, sure.
Terraformer, okay. Terrans.
No, it's just like a title they've called themselves. And then I'm like, it means the humans. I do like that they have the Sisko and his wife talking about slavery, and it's two black people talking about slavery.
Yes.
And I was like, that's a good way to discuss it.
What did you think, Frank, with that explanation and just sort of the thought that, Spock, in one sense, did more harm than good?
I would still... Part of me finds it a little hard to believe that Spock, as logical as he is, I can understand wanting to issue these reforms, but to not assume that even though he wants to do this and the Terrans may follow along, that the rest of the races involved in the galaxy aren't going to do that seems kind of... I feel like this is a very illogical move of Spock to make. But it happens, and I can see why they do it on this show, because, the space station is it's always been an intergalactic hub. even in the Prime universe too. So it makes sense to kind of flip it and have the other alien species kind of be in the forefront and the Terrans be kind of subjected.
Yeah, and I think it's interesting that it's in a different spot. And then also, as we saw in the first episode crossover, that they don't know that there's the wormhole. Now, they don't revisit that at any point. Like, hey, what did they say about wormhole? How did they get away? You know, no, it's just like, well, it's just because it's easier for O'Brien to have figured out how to do that, you know, little transporter trick.
Yeah, when he shows up at the beginning of that that episode, I take Sisko over. I'm like, that seemed very easy for him just to get over here.
Yeah, that was actually my thought too. And you know, obviously watching it, knowing that I had, you know, pre-selected a Mirror Universe episode, I know right away that it's Smiley O'Brien. Now I wonder, you know, when I watched it originally, did I go like, well, why is the chief acting so weird? You know? But yeah, so I thought that was kind of interesting. And you know, the fact that Sisko kind of ends up going along with it anyway.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, and then when the third one is from season four, Shattered Mirror, and that's the one when Mirror Jennifer Sisko shows up and kidnaps Jake, and you're like, that's the sort of thing that I don't think you look the other way on, you know,
Jennifer on the regular season?
Regular Jennifer's dead.
Yeah, but I mean, was she on the beginning of Deep Space Nine?
Like, she's already dead in the pilot. There's like a flashback. She's gone already. And yeah, it's actually sort of a very interesting bit of Star Trek history as to what happens that kills Sisko's wife. See, I'll leave that for you if you ever watch that at one point.
Yes. Yeah,
it's because it's very interesting.
Yeah,
it's a lot of episodes, and yeah. I kind of, you know, I was just as I'm scrolling through season seven, I'm like, there's like 8-part Dominion War storyline that goes on, and then like the series finale is like a 2-hour, and I was just like, there's a lot. I just didn't remember in my mind how long the show went on, that it was still going in 1999. You know, it's longer than I thought.
I was liking it more than Enterprise, but then again, it might have been those Enterprise episodes.
Yeah, I mean, we've had actually a number of people in the comments on the YouTube page from last week's episode give us like, well, you know, try these episodes of Enterprise and those. And I was always sure that they were good episodes.
Yeah, I'd still just give it a try.
Those Mirror Universe episodes were not rough. Their best foot forward. So that's the third one. And already it's starting to wear a little thin where you're like, so Jennifer Sisko just comes over for dinner, basically. I mean, it's under false pretenses, but that's what we're watching as it starts. Like, so she just comes over for
dinner?
That's
what I'm saying. It's super casual to hop between the universes. I'm like,
it's like nobody's worried about getting stuck or, you know, any of these things, you know? And I'm like, all right.
Is it more casual because they teleport casually anyways?
Yeah, I mean, I guess because the transporter is such a casual device, especially at this point, you know, the next generation onward part, they're essentially worked out all the kinks. I guess just the transporter in general is so easy to use. One of the nice things that I thought that was interesting to see through the five episodes, Frank, was, and again, you know, maybe it's a little bit chewing up the scenery, but Andy Robinson as Garak, who, if you go back to the original Dirty Harry and you want to see some, you know, just some great, awful villain, I mean, great acting, but just an awful, terrible character, that's Andy Robinson in the original Dirty Harry. And he's so good in this timeline because, as they mentioned, he's essentially a tailor in the Prime, you know, the actual Deep Space Nine. As the series goes along, you realize that, you know, there's a lot more to him and he's capable of a lot. But he's trying to just sort of reform and be a tailor. So we meet him as sort of very different. So that was interesting. And then getting to see Regent Worf, because Worf ends up on the show when they start making Next Generation movies. They wanted to bring him on the show, and he said...
He's in an episode, Nine, where he's both.
Yeah. He said that... So Michael Dorn, who played Worf, said, I will be on Deep Space Nine, but you have to guarantee I get to be in every Next Generation movie. So there's... One where they kind of explain how he's there, and Frank, I believe it's Nemesis, right? Where they're like, "Mr. Worf, what are you doing here?" And he's like, "Oh, it's a very funny story." And then they tell it off camera.
Yep.
And you don't really know why he's there. And you know, I was just like, "Well, good. I'm glad. Don't go too far fetched with it."
I really liked him playing the two different characters. It was because the on the regular Prime universe,
yeah, you get to see him
calm, cool, and collected.
You get to see him in the. I mean, I guess that was. Look, that episode Resurrection with the, well, not Vedic Brile, but Brile comes over. I kind of like the dinner party at Dax and Worf's. I'm like, I would watch, you know, 45 minutes of just them having dinner. I was like, because the show was on so long, you got really good character development out of everyone, you know? And I, it was just sort of, there were some nice moments and, you know, there was, I think, in the beginning of that episode, Dax and Kira are just sort of talking about how she's
dating, yeah.
And I'm just like, I just like this. Yeah. This sort of like light chit chat.
Very normal
and
conversation.
When your show is on for that long, you're able to kind of do that. You know, you're able to just, I mean, look, and it does set up the fact of who shows up. But, and I don't know, so I liked getting to see the character development from, you know, the Prime side of the reality, but also we really get to know these Mirror Universe characters. I mean, mostly Kira and Garak. Those are the ones who are in every... Well, I guess Garak's not in every episode.
Is Garak like the guy who's working for her?
So he's the Cardassian who, like, he runs the... Well, he actually doesn't run the Oramite originally. He's in the chain on the Klingon ship. Yeah.
I kind of was liking him, and then I'm just like, ugh.
Well...
Like, his acting, I enjoyed. Like, the
cause it's
intensity...
Big. Oh, it's big.
It was great. But, like, the actual character... Ugh.
Yeah. Well, he's very one-note.
Yeah.
And, you know, he seems very easily distracted by the Ferengis. But you know what? Negotiation is what they do. So, yeah. So that was kind of the one thing that, you know, after I was watching all five episodes, I was like, that was kind of cool to get to see him in most of these episodes. And then, of course, I don't know. Maybe they just didn't know they were going to do so many. But I was just like, oh, I wish they didn't kill Odo in the first one.
Yeah.
You know, because then we couldn't have him anymore.
Which one was Odo?
He runs the mining on that side in the first episode, and he gets shot and he blows up like all liquid because that's...
Yeah, yeah. That was a weird one to happen.
He's a main character, and he's a great character. I don't want to say he's my favorite character from DS9, but one of the best characters in Deep Space Nine. That's why I'm thinking he might be. But I haven't really given it any thought as I open my mouth. So I don't know if I want to say he's my favorite, but I don't know who would be if it's not him, you know.
I would say goateed Benjamin Sisko.
I do like Ben. Yeah, goatee,
you know,
Benjamin Sisko.
Full hair, no goatee.
Yeah.
Not so much.
But, you know, look, I like Odo because, you know, I'm just a big Rene Auberjonois fan from back on Benson, you know. So, look, I just go way back with the actor. I just thought it was an interesting character. You know, anytime that someone is the last of their species or believes they are, I always find that to be kind of interesting.
It always struck me as, like, when they even announced the first casting for Deep Space Nine, I always struck me that he was doing this series. It just seemed like, really? Him? I don't know. I enjoy him as an actor, but it just felt like, is this like beneath him, sort of?
Yeah.
Star Trek is...
I mean, you're going to do like seven seasons of Benson. You're going to be all right, I guess. You know, it's all right. But I know what you're saying. Yeah. That was one of those like, oh, really?
I will say, going back to the first episode...
Yeah.
With Bashir and Kira. Just
crossover.
The beginning of
episode 223, yes.
Their interaction. I had just forgotten how much I enjoyed Bashir more at the end of the series than at the beginning.
Mm.
How grating he is. Just sitting there at the beginning talking about doing meditation and all that.
Yeah.
I was like, ugh.
But you're identifying with her, so I was kind of okay with him being annoying. But, oh, mirror universe of him. I'm like, ugh, can I punch him too?
I was also reminded that he changed his name throughout the run. Because his name is Siddiq Al-Fadil. But then by the end of the series, or not even by the end of the series, by like season four, I think, he just changed his name to Alexander Siddiq. And I guess he wanted to be less ethnic, you know.
And he and Kira were married in real life for a period of time.
So then they're hating each other in the show.
But were they in real life, or were they in our mirror universe? You know, our real world mirror universe. See, I don't even know.
That's,
I can't
tell. Like Dexter. In real life, he was married to the woman who played his sister.
That's not weird at all.
No, not at all.
You know what? Yeah, you're absolutely right.
That was one where you're like, wait, what?
Yeah, they do a good job with, you know, Kira the intendant. And you can tell that they have fun every year when they get to,
well,
you know,
her and... the Klingon, what's the Klingon guy?
Worf?
Yeah, when they're together, that was fun too.
Yeah, that's true. Those were some fun scenes. And, you know, that was kind of the consistent thing. That must be what they liked the most, was having her in here. Because even episodes that she didn't necessarily need to be in, there she was. But
there's so much more, she's so much more dynamic as the intendant. And, I mean, certainly, I guess, you know, Kira Nerys in the Prime Universe, you know, just a little bit more regimented. And that hair, man. It took a while for her to get a hairstyle that was like, okay, that's all right.
It's kind of the same throughout like all of them. Yeah.
Well, she gets more of like a swoop, like starting at like season 4. Wave. It had this little thing happening.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You didn't dig it?
No, not so much.
It's very military of, you know, it's very military of short crop, no need style. Pretty much.
In the chat right now, Stardrew mentions the fact that Jadzia Dax is gone after season 6 is because she joined the cast of Becker, the Ted Danson sitcom.
Of course.
Now, from an acting and a financial standpoint, it was, of course, a good choice. I don't know about from an acting standpoint, but from a monetary standpoint, because she would have only gotten one more season of Deep Space Nine, but she had like 5 or 6. That show Becker was on forever.
It ended up
in syndication. And I was just like, I never knew anybody who watched it, but there it was. And she was on it. And it was like, well, good for her. But then they had to, you know, unfortunately, they had to kill her off. And then they explain, you know, the new host and all of this. And I don't know. I just think it would have been better to have just not had the character on the show anymore. But I guess it's interesting to explore the dynamic of like, hey, I'm not that person anymore, but I guess we're friends, maybe? I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I guess when you do something like that with the character, it gives you an opportunity to take them with the relationship they've already been in.
Yeah.
And now you can have just a revitalized character that you can spin off and pair off with somebody else, like a Julian Bashir.
Yeah, no, that's true. I mean, I don't know, it would have been interesting, I guess, if she'd been in the final season. It probably, you know, just would have been more of the same.
But I think I would have liked it better.
I would have, too. I would have been happier for Worf.
Yes.
Yeah. So, anyway, so, I don't know. I mean, look, I found these shows interesting to watch.
Mm-hmm.
And there were things that I liked about each of them. But it really made me just think of, like, there were so many episodes of Deep Space Nine. There's just so much of it.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's... That's a big task to do that rewatch, you know? And it's like, I would love to have the kind of time where I can do that. You know, I'm just going to watch the whole thing. I'm going to watch all of Next Generation.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to watch Next Generation season 2 onward. But I'm going to watch all of Deep Space Nine and, you know, like 8 episodes of Voyager. You know, I'll just pick and choose. I don't know. It was, it reminded me that why I liked Deep Space Nine so much was because the characters were so well-defined. And I liked the characters, and I didn't like the characters on Voyager. I didn't like most of the characters on Enterprise. And the stories actually didn't matter as much. I didn't want to tune in week after week because I'm like, I just don't like anybody. You know, I'm talking about Voyager in particular.
Yeah. Wait, who did you like on Voyager?
I liked Captain Janeway, actually. I just, I really didn't like Neelix. I didn't like...
Tuvok
Tom Paris didn't look like he belonged on a. I mean, I guess he technically didn't belong there, but you know, and it was a lot of that cast, and there was the same thing with Enterprise. It was a little too like UPN. It was like a little like, you know, just I don't know. Just take a look at it. Just look at a cast photo of Voyager. Look at a cast photo of Deep Space Nine, and you'll see what I mean.
Yeah,
you know, it was just too pretty, you know? I mean, it just wasn't... I don't think that they cast the best actors necessarily. I think they cast, you know, based on looks more than acting ability, which, look, that's a lot of TV. I'm not going to pretend it isn't. Yeah.
Well, the one thing I had forgotten watching that second episode from season four. The
second one's from season three. Season three, Through the Looking Glass. That's when Mira O'Brien kidnaps Sisko.
Yeah, they had Tim Russ in there.
Yes, Tuvok is just inexplicably there. I'm glad you mentioned that, because I admit. So the Black Vulcan, Tuvok, is actually a cast member of Voyager. And he is a character that I liked on Voyager. I'm glad you actually brought me back around him. I did like Tuvok. And we see an ancestor of his in Star Trek VI, right?
Yes.
He represents Kirk and Bones on
That was Worf.
That was
that Worf. We saw here, because they're on the Klingon planet.
Of course it is.
So yes, we
but
see.
But we see Tuvok at some point. We see that actor. Was that in Generations?
He is in one of them.
I think it's Generations.
Yeah, but he's
we see an ancestor of his in something. And you're right. Yeah, that's a Worf ancestor. Sorry. Anyway, so that was just interesting. And that's the sort of stuff that I wish you could see more of in these mirror universes. You know, it would just be characters. And, you know, look, it's hard to get, you know, like a cast member. But, you know, maybe a minor character. Like Ensign Roe from Next Generation could have been over there. That's completely directed at Frank. You have no idea what I'm talking about.
Michelle Forbes.
I love Michelle Forbes. She was great on Homicide.
Yep.
And Rescue Me. Anyway. But, that's the sort of character that you could have had more of. What's Dwight Schultz's character's name?
Barkley.
Yes. Get a Barkley over there, you know? But anyway. So that was the sort of thing that I liked. But so the point that I'm making about all these characters that I liked is I liked Odo so much, and he's not really in these because they killed him in the first one.
It is interesting, the characters that they choose to have either crossing over to each other's universes.
Yeah.
O'Brien ends up getting the brunt of that.
Yeah.
He ends up the most time in between.
Because he's the one who figured out how to do it.
You know? Yeah.
Yeah.
But I also, seeing Dax and her, Jadzia, for the first couple episodes that she was in for the mirror universe, I'm like, no.
Yeah, I know. You're just like, okay, so she's just got on a leather jacket.
Yeah.
Which one was that one?
That's the first Dax, and she has this like the spots on her neck, and Captain Sisko sleeps with her when he goes out. Yeah, so she's not that different.
She has short hair.
She has it's like pulled back.
She has a bob, and then in the other one, she has it pulled back.
Okay, there you go. So it's a little different.
It's not a giant difference, but Kira's hair is exactly the same. She just has like the headband thing.
But it always seemed weird with me for Dax, because she's with Sisko for a while, kind of his mistress.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, even though that is not the Benjamin Sisko that we know, he still has some charisma because he's able to inspire these people. But then when she finds out, oh, he's dead, I'm going to hang out with Bashir. Like, she's so quick to like, hey, I'll go with you, Bashir, on this. I'm like, what?
She's going Bashir's, up the ladder.
But that Bashir, like, it brings like nothing to the table.
Oh, he's such a loser. Here's what we can take away from the Mirror Universe episodes, from Deep Space Nine, Enterprise, and Discovery. There's a lot of boning going on, you know.
Yeah.
It is just like, you know, turn the steam up.
And no kids.
Yeah, that's true. Well, they're very safe over there.
Yes, apparently.
Very safe.
Or sterile.
Yeah, well, yeah. That's true. There's no Jake Sisko in the Mirror Universe. Mm-hmm. So apparently, there's literally no kids.
Speaking of like the fashion sense for just a regular everyday clothes, like Jake's got that bad shirt.
See, that's a problem too.
They wanted
it to look like the future, but at the same time, I'm like, I think I saw an episode of Fresh Prince where Carlton was wearing that.
Yeah.
So you know, I'm like, at the same time, it's like it's the future, but it's like the '90s future.
More like weird material people would wear that looks better.
I just never enjoyed the Star Trek aesthetic for civilian clothes.
Yeah, they for the most part do a good job with uniforms.
Yeah, uniforms look good.
We get to see good uniforms as we watch on this show. We get to see them adopt the gray with the color of
thing.
The turtleneck as opposed to on Voyager they were stuck because there was no way to explain how they would change uniforms, so at least in Deep Space Nine they got to refresh the look a little bit. It's just the multicolored different turtle not really turtlenecks but like the V-necks, I guess, is what those were, but for the most part I think they do a good job with that. And then I think starting with like Star Trek III, when they're not on the bridge, and when Bones is like just off in the real world, that was the first time where I'm like,
These are the future clothes that they wear. I was like, I don't know. So I like when they're in uniform.
Yeah,
it's very jarring when they're not. You know.
I also give a shout out to the effects for like the Defiant. Like once they introduced the Defiant into Deep Space Nine, that was a small, more compact ship that could be a lot faster and have a lot more aerial acrobatics when it's in space fighting. Mm-hmm. It made for more dynamic fight scenes.
Yeah, and I think that many years into the show, it was important that they could do more than just hang out in the space station. And have everybody come to them. Yeah.
Something I noticed that I'm like, okay, I don't know if this is throughout the show or just the Mirror Universes. They enjoyed having the camera really awkwardly low on multiple characters and situations. And there's a part, like, with Kira that I'm like, boobs. That's, like, the whole frame, her boobs, of, like, the camera down low looking
you
up.
You know, now that you mention it, I remember the shot you're talking about. And it was super low.
Bashir, like, from the first episode where the Klingon's bored.
And they're, like looking up. And I'm like, I mean, normally you do that, like, you look up when you're the victim and you're looking up at the oppressor person and, like, makes them big and imposing. But I'm like, why are we looking at our heroes? Is this because they didn't have a full set so they couldn't move the camera? And it happens in multiple episodes, having this bizarrely very close, low angle that's it doesn't add to the visual storytelling. It just feels awkward.
What I did like, was that the last two episodes were both directed by LeVar Burton.
That's right.
Geordi LaForge. So I was like, okay, I like that. And, you know, I like that he's like, oh, I get another Mirror Universe. They must have, you know, after the fourth one, they must have figured like, all right, well, let's give you a good one, you know, where they actually go over there. But then I was thinking of LeVar Burton directing the invisible cloaking device and ow, I hurt my foot. And I was just like, that's not his fault. Yeah. You know, that's in the script. But I'm like, ouch.
I know. And as I was reading, like, the Ira Stephen Bear, he said, you know what, it was the last season, we wanted to make sure that Quark and Rom got a nice little spotlight episode. And I'm like, great.
Yeah. I mean, it is the one interesting thing about that, and we'll wrap up in a moment, is that Quark is able to get inside, you know, he's like hung up on Ezri Dex. Mm-hmm. And he gets insight into her that he would not have otherwise had. So I think it's interesting. You know, he's just like, because he's really fixated on her at the beginning of the episode. And at the end, he's like,
you're not the kind of guy she's
He's like, meh. To. But you're not her type.
Yeah.
Because you're,
No, he said, the other guy says, like, she's very particular with the men she likes.
Oh, you're right.
So and then he goes, you're not her type.
Yeah. Right, exactly. So I just thought that was interesting because that's the sort of thing that's like, oh, well, all right. Now I know more about her. And so.
What he still tried to ask her out.
Well, sure. Well, he tried to ask out the Mirror Universe version.
Yes. So, very persistently.
Yeah. What were you going
to
say?
What I liked about the Ferengi, though, is that it was interesting to see in these episodes to see a different shade of Quark, where he's helping out the Terrans wanting to move over to the Prime Universe or escape Tarek Nor. But that they also fold immediately under even the slightest bit of interrogation and will reveal all.
Yes, I do like there are things that I do like about the Ferengis. I think that them being in the forefront of this episode was why I was just like, okay, I guess. In a moment, we're going to talk about what we'll be watching for next week. But first, I want to have fun, learn, and grow in all areas of your life. For those who do, have we got a podcast for you? Conversations with Maria Menounos, podcast edition, is hosted by our AfterBuzz TV founder and drops every Friday on iTunes. Conversations with Maria Menounos features celebrity and influencer interviews, along with secrets and tips on how to be better in all aspects of life, from health and wellness to career and relationships, finances, and more. Let our Maria be the big sister you never had. Just go to iTunes and subscribe to Conversations with Maria Menounos for free. Be sure to rate and comment, and when you do, let Maria know that it was Star Trek Weekly who got you there. Conversations with Maria Menounos, podcast edition. Check it out. But you know, check out Maria's podcast between now and our next episode. But on our next episode, we are going to visit another character, I guess, storyline from Discovery, and that will indeed be Harry Mudd. So we are going to watch Mudd's Women, I, Mudd, from the original series, and I'm glad I was reminded of this when I did my little research beforehand, from the animated series, Mudd's Passion. So that is episode 10 of the animated series. Season 2, episode 12 is I, Mud. And season 1, episode 3 is Mud's Women. So all on Netflix. That's the best thing, is that all the Star Trek, the original series, the animated series, everything's there. So that's what we're going to watch for next week. And since we saw him a couple of times on Discovery, I realized, like, well, there's one more thread we can pull on. Yeah. After that, I got no idea. At some point, we're going to have to do a watch of the motion picture, and I think that's coming soon. It's coming very soon.
Yes.
But that's not next week. Next week, it's going to be... am I going to have to pick a song by Puddle of Mud? Oh, no. All right. Well, I've already done it. Anyway, that'll be next week, so be sure to tune in next Sunday at 10 p.m. Pacific. Until then, I'm Christian Blatt. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at @ChristianDMZ. Carrie, where do people find you?
Yes, y'all can find me online at Carrie D. Lane. That's KARIDLANE.
And Frank Moran.
Follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Happy Go Jackie. And I can't think of any better way to end the episode than Stardrew's thought that Becker is a good sitcom.
Well, Becker is a sitcom, that's for sure. Anyway, thank you, Stardrew, everybody in the chat. We'll see you next week. Live long and prosper.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later!
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.